Jamie and Walker with you here on a Monday afternoon as the green zone turns a different shade of color, where the blue zone today had a game three of the World Series, the LA Dodgers, Toronto Blue Jays. Of course, you can catch the game with us with Boston Pizza and the Starlight Street, and that's Vic East location, as Walker's been chuckling at me all the time for all those with kids. Chuck E. Cheese is like right next door. That's the Boston Pizza we're talking about.
You know you can drink at Chuck E. Cheese?
Yes, I do. I'm quite familiar with the establishment. Jamie and Walker with you here on the Blue Zone.
I was surprised by that
today.
When I went to a birthday party 100 years ago. I'm like, what?
That was the first question I asked when
I can have a beer?
Does that say you guys are licensed? Interesting. But it's definitely licensed here at Boston Pizza. Lots of prize giveaways as well. We have
that jersey went quick, eh? Like, I couldn't believe how fast.
The jersey's still here all the way to the end of the game. Stop trying to steal the jersey, Locker, and the hat combo. We got mugs with Bandera bread, T-shirts, bunny hugs, and a lot more prizes to give away. So join us.
Well, Stanley mugs
here.
Are nice, too.
Yes. They are. Join us here today for the Jays and the Dodgers. But right now, joining us, and it's great to have Rob Fay with us, a great broadcaster, TSN Radio back in the day. Rob Fay Nation Radio was the show. But for 15 years, he's been with the Vancouver Canadiens, an affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays, and now is the director of sales and marketing. Rob, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
It is my pleasure, and it's always great when you can start a show with a little Chuck E. Cheese reference. So I was engaged immediately.
Now, Rob, I'm going to scare you because we had Bob Marjanovic on Friday, and the amount of you should ask Rob about this and ask Rob, none of which we should ask you on the air.
Rob, we said, you got any dirt on Rob? And then he just went on for about 30 minutes.
But I imagine, Rob, you probably have more dirt on the Moj than he has on you.
It's the only guy you can smell through the phone. It's awesome. I've got no problem with it.
Wow. That is a heck of a line. But
good start.
Of course, with these Jays, what's it like watching these Jays? Because you have a close connection, especially you were the officiant at John Schneider's wedding. What is it like watching these Blue Jays, a couple of the players, played in Vancouver to now watch them all the way into the World Series?
I mean, it's really cool. I think the one thing that I'm still trying to wrap my head around is the fact that Trey Savage, who started game one of the World Series, pitched here 3 months ago. I mean, for him to go from long A to double A to triple A to the postseason to the World Series all in the blink of an eye is something that you just don't see. And so we talk about Cinderella and the slipper and the fact that they're taking on the Yankees and then their neighbors down south and the Mariners. And now they've got the three-headed monster in the Dodgers. I mean, it is just a storybook. And if they can somehow fandangle a World Series out of this, I think it captures an entire new generation of Canadians, because I'm old enough that I remembered 92 and 93, but my kids have no recollection of that. So this really is something that I think invigorates an entire country and a whole new fan base.
Rob, back to the Trey Savage conversation here quickly. When you saw him and when people were scouting this kid, 22 years of age, was there even the remotest, like, did anybody go, this kid's going to have a great career? Or is it surprising everyone?
Well, I'm old enough that I was here for Marcus Stroman. I was here for Noah Syndergaard. And both of those were considered, you know, by prospect levels, blue chippers. And you still thought, in the best case scenario, because the Blue Jays are so careful with their pitching, that it was still going to be a year or two away. I saw him pitch here in Vancouver, and as good as he was, and boy, was he dominant, I just didn't think this was an organization that was going to press. But he continued to force their hand at every level. You said, boy, he'll do good here, but he'll probably meet his match at double A. And then you'd said that about triple A. And then you'd said that about the major leagues. And then he struck out 11 Yankees. I mean, there's just been no bad outing to Trey Savage the entire process this summer, which really is, I think, something when you get to the offseason and you finally reflect whether they win the World Series or not, you're going to look back and say, that was really a Halley's Comet for a prospect. That just doesn't happen, especially for a pitcher.
Rob Fate joining us, Director of Sales and Marketing, of course, Vancouver Canadiens. He's been a broadcaster with the organization, has watched a lot of young, budding Blue Jays come up, and including four members of this team and the manager. Rob, Locker and I always chuckle watching John Schneider manage.
Yeah.
Because as the game gets more and more...
Gets more purple.
Yeah, it gets redder and redder and redder and redder. And then you see him on an off day, and it's like, oh, he's like
relaxed,
relaxed and everything.
Looks tanned.
You know John pretty well. What is the manager of the Blue Jays like, and what have you seen from this younger coach now lead a team to the World Series?
Well, there's a couple of things, and you're right. I'm a friend, and that's one of the things I think in minor league baseball that you make is you see these guys before they make it to the bright lights of the major leagues. And he's a guy that you would sit around at Boston Pizza getting ready in the Blue Zone to just have a couple of beers and watch a game. And I think that's endeared him to the players around him. I mean, he doesn't have a bunch of rookies. He's got Max Scherzer, Kevin Gausman. He's got guys that have been to the big dance and have Cy Youngs on their over the fireplace on the mantle. And you sit back and you say, well, how does a guy that never played Major League Baseball harness that kind of talent? And I think it's because of the man that he is. And he takes it. I mean, I see the Twitter feeds when he makes a bad decision. And as much as I'm his friend, I'll still say, boy, I don't know if I would have taken Jose Barrios out in the fourth. I wouldn't have done that with Kevin Gausman. But these are the lumps that a young coach or a young manager has to take. And it's tough in this age when instead of reading it in the next day's paper, you read it real time. But I think he's just got a really easygoing demeanor. His likability is off the charts. And the Blue Jays, if you really pull the lens back, he's been a part of this organization since 2001. And for me, when you've got a quote-unquote lifer that's finally got his chance, I think they've given him all the opportunities to succeed, and he's finally starting to pay them back.
Rob, one of the things that has been very refreshing about this Blue Jays squad is, and you mentioned likability, so let's extend that from the manager to the guys on the field. Jamie and I have been chatting about this now for months as this team has ramped up and we've been paying more and more attention to the Blue Jays this year. And the thing about this team is, and it comes through on the TV, is that they're just likable. Like, they just seem like a likable squad. We had Lindsay Dunn on, and she's been in Toronto covering the Blue Jays for 10 plus years, and she was talking about past favorites, Blue Jays, and she used the word prickly, and it's something that also came through. So it's nice to hear and get reinforcement from people that know these players. And to a man, this organization is full of very likable players. Do you think that's part of the reason why they're so successful?
Yeah, I think it is. And, you know, you look at talents like Alek Manoah, and you want to talk about prickly. There was an opportunity this season to maybe go out and get a little help with Marcus Stroman, but the Blue Jays this year decided that they were going to go with the person. And you keep talking or hear John Schneider in this organization talking about selflessness, and that seems to be the keynote word that they've been using throughout the season. And they really chopped off some dead wood. And don't get me wrong, those are great talents that they parted ways with. But in 162 games and spring training and families and travel and everything that goes into a Major League Baseball season, you got to get along. And I think one of the things that the Blue Jays did really early on is getting Vladdy locked in so that wasn't a focal point of the season was a really big deal. And that actually looks like a bargain contract right now. But how many Blue Jay fans could say that they knew the inner workings of Ernie Clement or Miles Straw or some of these pieces that John Schneider's been able to play with all season long? I mean, this is one thing I'll say, and you look at the Dodgers, you've got the four or five marquee names, and then you got the supporting cast, if you will. Every single player within this Blue Jays roster is a valuable component. You'll always see a pinch runner for Addison Barger, or maybe you'll see somebody shift from left to right or play second base. This is the beauty of the Blue Jays, is everybody feels that they have value and they have worth on this team. There's nobody just sitting in the background, doing a slow burn. Everybody's contributing, and I think when everybody's getting a piece of the pie and a taste of the field, that's why you have fun when you go to the ballpark.
Rob Fate joining us, Director of Sales and Marketing, Vancouver Canadiens. Of course, so was a broadcaster with the team, has watched a lot of young Blue Jays coming up, including the manager, John Schneider. But the four players, of course, Treya Savage, Mason Fluharty, and then Davis Schneider and Addison Barger went through Vancouver. But when it comes to Davis Schneider, Rob, when did he start looking like an industrial arts teacher? Was that in Vancouver or was that later?
He looked like he was 12 years old when he played in Vancouver. I think his dad did him very well. If memory serves me correct, I think his dad still has me blocked on Twitter. Because when he was here, I did not have him pegged as a guy that was going to make it to the bright lights of the major leagues. And you know what? That's the beauty of this team. And sometimes you'll get the guy that's just a no-brainer, like a Treya Savage. But if you do the math on an early Ernie Clement who was cut by a number of teams and released and finally got picked up by the Blue Jays as a cast-off, or a guy like Davis Schneider, who at one point was probably wondering if the organization was going to let him stick around for another year. And they did, and then all of a sudden he turns into a piece of the puzzle. I mean, this for me is the beauty of the team. But I look back at a guy, for example, like you mentioned, like Davis Schneider, and he wasn't a guy that initially projected. But the Blue Jays stuck with him. He got his opportunities. And the one thing that you can always find your way to the major leagues if you can do is hit. And when he got to the major leagues, I don't know if you remember the series against Boston, but when he broke through in a big way, and he's never looked back.
Rob, one of the things that I'm known for, and you and I have never met, but I'm known for my investigative journalism. And so we did a little bit of work behind the scenes on you because you're new to the Green Zone / Blue Zone. And one of the things we learned about you is that you are quite a bartender. And one might even refer to you as a trick bartender. Have you got a signature move, Rob?
I used to. Now I'm too old to. I think if you throw the bottle up now, I don't even know if I'd be able to locate it. But, yeah, that was one of the things when I was trying to pay my way to get through school is I would bartend at night. So I would do the PA announcing at Simon Fraser University, and then I would roll up Hastings Street, go to the downtown core in Vancouver, and I'd bartend till 3, 4 in the morning. I got really good at it for a little while. There's some great bartenders here, but those were the 20s, and now I'm in my 50s. And let's just say they don't make them like they used to. So, yeah.
You and I need to chat because I think we might have been in the bartending circles at the same time. I bartended at the Cannery and a couple of other places in Vancouver.
I bartended in Gastown. I know the Cannery very well.
Yeah. So, Rob, break it down for Game 3 today. You got Mad Max against Glasnow. What do you think of the Jays' chances in Game 3 to get back ahead in this series?
All right, very quickly, because I know you're up against it here. Glasnow is a bit of a kind of a Yahtzee Cup role. He could either dominate you or he could blow up. He's got an ERA over 5 against the Blue Jays in his 11 appearances. And Mad Max, this might be his last start ever. I mean, you got to be talking about the R word. We're going to be talking about retirement here at some point for him. So this might be his last kick at the can. I think he's going to shove. I think he's going to be great today. And I think he loves the stage. He's pitched for the Dodgers. He understands that market. He knows the ballpark as well. And I think he's just going to grind one out. And really what it comes back down to is can the Blue Jays offensively bounce back from having it just absolutely stuck up the old derriere by Jakob? Let me put it this way. There's got to be a better way to phrase that, but let's just call it what it was. In Game 2, they got it handed to them, and how they bounce back is really, to me, bigger than the pitching matchup. Is how does that offense respond after getting it shoved to them?
Well, I'll tell you, Rob, Locker's known as investigative journalism. I'm known for just ignoring the clock entirely, which we did because you were such a great guest.
We'll have you back, Rob. That was awesome.
Thanks, Rob, for your time. Enjoy Game 3 and the rest of the series.
I got to take a call from Moj now. He's online, too. Thanks for that.
Smell him through the phone. It's Bob Marjanovic. Rob, thank you so much for your time. That's Rob Fay, Vancouver Canadiens organization, as currently their director of sales and marketing, was their broadcaster, was on TSN radio, but very good friends. He officiated the manager, John Schneider's wedding, for crying out loud. So there's inside perspective on who these guys are that have the Jays 3 wins away from a World Series championship. This is 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
Yeah,
Welcome into the Blue Zone today. Getting ready for the Blue Jays game number 3. We are doing a watch party today with the Blue Zone / Green Zone live Boston Pizza in Regina, Saskatchewan. Vic East Starlight Street location. As I keep on saying, it's next to the Chuck E. Cheese.
Yep.
For people with kids, you'll know exactly where that location is.
During the next news, you can run over there.
Yeah. What you do is you go to Chuck's and then come here for Bandera bread as a pair. Plus, we're giving away Bandera bread. We're giving away mugs. We got a jersey and a hat combo with the final score. So, and here's the thing: you walk into the building, you will get an entry for all the great prizes we have. Plus, you'll get your name on the board for the final score. And it's happy hour till close today only. Happy hour till close.
Love it. Some today. Great specials.
Absolutely. Starlight Street location, Vic East Regina, for the Blue Jays Game 3 and Monday Night Football will be on today.
So, and we're hanging out for the game, too.
Absolutely. Locker and I will be here all game long with the Jays and the Dodgers. But as we go from the Blue Zone, let's flip things over to football with our grades.
Jamie and Locker are about to take you to school.
Bueller.
They've got their red pens and filling the margin.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Here are their top grades.
You mean I...
and their failing grades.
You get nothing. You lose.
It's time for the Green Zone Report Card.
Yes, each and every week we give you our grades for the Rough Rider game, and it's the Riders and the BC Lions. 27-21, the final in favor of the BC Lions, which means they host the West semifinal. So we go through the game and give you our top grades and our failing grades.
Jamie Nye, would you like to start with your failing grade?
I would love to start with my failing grade. My failing grade goes to sideline judge, veteran official of 600 games in the Canadian Football League, Murray Clark.
Clark gets it away, finds Hatcher looking for the end zone.
You did hear a whistle.
It was a little quick.
It was all the way quick. Shouldn't have been blown.
Yeah.
There was no way that whistle should have sounded. Barry Hill pointed at Murray Clark. I was in the north end zone, so I could see it. And I was like, Murray Clark blew the play blew the call because that should have been a touchdown. Riders, an early whistle. It happened in the NFL this weekend, too. It's not like, CFL officials, terrible. But... come on, Murray. You got to know better. When there's a fumble, just leave the play. That's why you have the replay center.
And I'm pretty sure that ball didn't cross the line.
It didn't. They reviewed it to make sure it didn't, and it did not cross the line. It was a fumble. It should have been a touchdown, Riders, but a whistle took that away. That's my failing grade. Locker.
That would have been a long run, too, for Tavon.
Another one.
Yeah,
taken away
one.
For
yeah.
Tavon Campbell. Locker, what's your failing grade?
I don't have a failing grade today, much to your chagrin. Jamie was very upset. I want to focus. It's the end of the season. I want to focus on the positives.
You don't have a failing grade?
No.
What kind of teacher are you?
No.
You pass everybody.
Yep.
Oh, the new age teaching. Everybody gets a pass.
It's the last day of school. You're getting out early and you're getting a movie. Okay. All right, so my list starts with Corey Mace. He's done an amazing job. I think his leadership is a big reason why this team is where they are right now. Coach Mace for Coach of the Year, if that doesn't happen, that's an atrocity. Another shout-out to the defense, all of them. Again, I have been paying very close attention to these games and trying to learn as much as I possibly can to catch up with sports guy Jamie Nye, and I've been paying a lot of attention to the defense on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and they are blowing me away each and every week, and the depth is a big part of it. You can move these pieces around, and Belton actually brought something up that I thought was very poignant on the post-game show this weekend. He said that that this team has a lot of good problems when it comes to who they're going to play in that West final on November 8th. Also, Shake and Bake. He always looks like he's having a lot of fun, but this weekend, that move where he took a drink from the Lions bench from the Gatorade bottle, I
I just loved that. That was amazing. I'm actually surprised there wasn't any fallout from that. Were you?
Like, what?
Lions players being upset. I don't know.
Some Gatorade. There's more than enough to share.
I have one more top grade.
And sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. I have one more top grade. I'm going to get to that after your top grade, Jamie Nye.
My top grade. Now, it's interesting. I actually sat in the crowd for the first time in a while.
It's fun, isn't it?
I go in the press box, of course, and you're working away, but with this game, and it didn't mean much in the standings, and I knew the people that my family sit with weren't able to get to the game, so there'd be an extra seat for me. So I was like, I'll sit down there with my kids and my wife. I don't get to do it very often.
Took the clipboard down there, and away you went.
My top grade, the atmosphere of that game, it was a meaningless game for the standings. The atmosphere was great. The Rough Riders do a phenomenal job. Their game day experience in that stadium, I think they do a great job. Now, I could use a couple more replays if you could. But they do a great job. They move it along. The hosts are great. My kid runs down and gives Gaynor a high five every time they score a touchdown as he's driving by that north end zone. The sight lines in that stadium are amazing.
Football stadium. That's a football
stadium. Top grade to everybody, all the volunteers and everything that make it go for Rider games this year. I know there's one more home game for the West Final, but huge props to the Rough Riders game day experience. But Locker, you gave a lot of passing grades. What's your top grade?
My top grade, I'm going to give, and this is a perfect way to wrap up our grades today. It's Daryl Davis and his rant.
The problem I have was the Hatcher touchdown at the end, the game-winning touchdown that was initially called an incompletion by an official who was 10 feet away from it. Said, that's not a catch. Okay, let's go to review. This is what they put the God Center in to say it's absolutely changes it. If I can absolutely say that it was a catch, I'm going to. The God Center, I don't know how they absolutely said it was a catch to overrule that. It's a game-winning touchdown. To make a mistake on a review, that is absolutely unacceptable, and it's the reason why the God Center in this league stinks to high heaven and should never be used again. That's how strongly I'm starting to think about it, and I'm seeing things from fans across the country. We're all calling it the God Center. What do you think that means about this thing? It means it's ridiculous. It's not the replay center. It's not the command center anymore. It takes over football games like God takes over the world.
And we had the CFL commissioner in town to make an announcement, obviously, about the 114th Grey Cup, which will be hosted by Saskatchewan. And he does not shy away from making changes. And I have a feeling that that might be on his list, among a couple of other things. My prediction is the ratio is going to get dealt with as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if we start hearing more announcements. Do they usually make announcements for the upcoming year around Grey Cup, Jamie?
Yeah, usually it's the State of the League address by the commissioner on that Friday. Huh.
Do you think there's a replay center conversation?
Dave said that he thinks there's going to be announcements made, like major, about the future of the league before Dave Naylor, before Grey Cup week happens.
Huh.
So we'll see if there's more coming.
We're trying to get Stu on the show, obviously, after the announcement today. I think he flew out right away, so we were not able to get him on today, but we have a request in to get him on at some point in the next couple of weeks. So
now there are our top grades and our failing grades with the Rough Riders, 27-21 loss, but the playoffs are ahead. The Riders rest this week. They'll be on the practice field a few times, of course, working through some things. And then next week, they'll know if it's BC or Calgary coming to Mosaic Stadium for the West Final, November the 8th. Of course, the Tiger Cats are waiting to find out who they play, as Montreal will play Winnipeg in the East semifinal. Of course, Saturday is game day. And earlier today, it was an announcement that the Grey Cup will be back in Regina in 2027. Jamie Nye, Locker with you here on the Blue Zone today, getting set for Game 3 of the World Series. You'll be able to hear that game live on these radio stations, but you can also join us for our watch party. Boston Pizza, Vicky's Starlight Street location, some great giveaways, some great deals today for those prizing, so stop on in for that 6 o'clock game, or join us earlier if you want to. Of course, they're going to have happy hour going from happy hour all the way till close. Today only, and that is Boston Pizza, Starlight Street, Vic East location for our watch party today. A lot more to come here on the Green Zone, including a chat with Gary Brotzel of the championship Regina Red Sox here live at Boston Pizza. Even brought the trophy if you want to take a gander at that. This is 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Of course, our watch party in Regina for the Jays and the Dodgers, game number 3. The Starlight Street Vicky's location is where you can find us. A lot of great prizes. You come in the door, get your name in the draw, and then there's some Bud Light and Budweiser specials. You buy those, you get more chances to win. Plus, everybody who comes in, get your name on the scoreboard. You can come meet us upstairs.
Yeah,
get your name on there. All you have to do is pick a square, and then it's completely random.
Yeah, you don't have to pick a score, so you don't have to think about it. You just got to pick a square.
Pick a square, completely random. At the end of the game, we'll put the score up on the board, and whoever's has the right square will win a Blue Jays jersey.
That's a nice jersey, too. I've been trying to steal it all day.
Yes, you have.
Somebody's hiding it from me now.
As they should, because you've been trying to steal it all day long. Jamie and Locker with you. So join us here, 6 o'clock start time. Of course, if you can't join us and you're driving around the province, listen in to the game with the Sportsnet Blue Jays Radio Network, as we are the proud home of the World Series with you. Jamie and Locker, big news in Saskatchewan today. Of course, the Grey Cup is coming back. 2027, the 114th edition of the Grey Cup. It'll be the fifth time Saskatchewan and Regina will host the Grey Cup. And Craig Reynolds is going to join us a little later on here as well. But it's going to be interesting, Locker, on that it's all indoors. Even the street festival will be indoors in Real District. So everything is indoors.
That's interesting.
That was part of the pitch for what they're going to do. So it's going to be one stop everything Grey Cup right outside Mosaic Stadium at Real District.
The one thing we had Britton on earlier in the show, our Green Zone Riders reporter, and he made a mention, and I didn't think of this until we brought it up, but the strength of the volunteers in this province when you put on an event is probably a big part of the reason why this Grey Cup is coming back here so quickly. And we'll have to make sure that we talk to Craig Reynolds about that, because that is a big part of it, whether or not you can get people to help with these events, right? Because you need thousands of volunteers. And from what I've been told, just based on the last one, there was a list, a mile long of people that were willing to step in and help out to bring that Grey Cup here and to make it happen, right? So, I mean, we'll talk to him about that, but that's a big part of the reason why I think that this province has looked so favorably upon when it comes to events like this.
Well, there's no question. The volunteer base for this province, everybody wants to pitch in and help, and they do a great job when they do it. So, Grey Cup. 2027 back in Regina, Saskatchewan. Can't wait for
that.
That's
huge news.
Yes, and it's huge for the city, for the football team too. The money they're able to make off of it, and to have this within two times in 5 years. I don't know what's going on out east. Montreal hasn't had one since 2008.
I think it's the strength of these packages that they're putting together, right?
That's true. I would think Ottawa has been trying to get one back. It's been a minute since they've been able to do that. So the Grey Cup back in Saskatchewan. As we continue here on the Green Zone live with our watch party, Boston Pizza, Vic East location, Starlight Street. You can find us for Game 3 of the World Series.